Tonight, we arrive here at the end of John's Gospel, the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. And Jesus and his disciples are having their last meal together there on the beach. After the crucifixion, the resurrection, Jesus has appeared to them. There's been a miraculous catch, and they're having dinner. And we get to witness a very touching conversation, interaction between Jesus and Simon Peter. Now, to understand what's going on, we need to go back a few more days, back to before the time when Jesus was arrested. You'll remember that there at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, soon the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and you all will fall away, and I will be tried and crucified, but on the third day I'll rise again. Well, as you may remember, Simon Peter jumped up and said, never, Lord, I will never leave you, I will never betray you. And Jesus says to him, Simon, you will betray me before the cock crows three times. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And of course, Peter does, just as Jesus had predicted. And so what we're seeing here tonight is Peter being reinstated by Jesus. He's denied Jesus three times. And so now he is asked by Jesus three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Second time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And what does John record? Peter was grieved. You know? He's like, do you have to rub it in? Lord, you know I love you. You have to rub my face in what I've done. Yes, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. To those of you who perhaps are a bit more observant than I ever would be, you all may have noticed that Jesus doesn't call him Peter, he calls him Simon. Peter, you will recall, was the new name that Jesus had given to Simon some time back, when Jesus had taken his disciples out and away from Jerusalem, out from Jewish country. They'd gone out to Gentile country. Jesus pulled them away and said, look, guys, who do people say that I am? And they rattle off all sorts of answers. And then he turns to them and says, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon blurts out, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says in so many words, the Lord has revealed this to you, and you are no longer Simon, that was his given name, but I call you Peter, literally the rock. And on this rock, on you, Simon Peter, I'm going to build my church. But something awful has happened between that time and this scene right now. And that is that Simon has betrayed Jesus three times. And Jesus has to deal with that. Jesus asks him three times, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Well, this little encounter, this poignant encounter between Peter and Jesus really gives us a kind of roadmap. Here at the end of John's Gospel, for anybody who might have come to the place where they realize Jesus really is the Christ and I want to follow him, we get here in this encounter the roadmap for how a person would do that. The first thing that has to happen is there's a barrier that has to be removed. And that is the barrier of our sin. You may not recall, but when Jesus first arrived on the scene in his public ministry, the first thing that he preached to anyone who would listen is repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn around. Change direction. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and if he was going to follow Jesus, then that had to be addressed. He had to change course. He had to repent. It wasn't something that could be glossed over and ignored. Now, if you all are like me, whenever I've done something wrong, whenever my sin is brought out into the light of day, you know, I just want to, you know, want to cover it up. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to, you know, can we just put that aside? And what is Jesus saying to Peter? He's like, no, we can't brush this up. We need to deal with this. We got to address it. When a person comes to faith and he realizes, if he's going to follow Jesus, he's going to have to change course. That's what repentance is. But this isn't just true at the beginning of our faith journey. It's true for the duration. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to come to grips with our sin. Now, I want to address something, a tendency that I see in myself and in others. It's a tendency that can be very dangerous, and here's how it works. We all know that because we are broken, we all know that maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe the next half an hour, we're going to do things or fail to do things that grieve God's heart. That's the reality of who we are as broken people. We know that. And so knowing that, we can begin to think, again, I see this in my own thinking, my own broken thinking. I think, well, if I know I'm going to fail, then what's the point of resisting? I'm just going to stumble again further down the road. Why even try to resist? It's a bit like, you can really see this sadly, in very large scale, if you get to know the mind of an addict who says to himself, well, I'm just going to be tempted tomorrow to drink again, so what's the point of not drinking today? But all the while, everything around him is falling apart. It's tragic. But that's the same tendency in us. And what that distorted thinking fails to realize is that it's by our repentance, it's by coming face to face with our sin, by facing it for what it really is, be it resentments or jealousy or anger or fear or laziness or unfaithfulness, whatever it is, it's by facing it and by throwing ourselves at the foot of the cross that we're able to get back on the path to following Jesus. The song that we sang here tonight, it was a new song for me. What a wonderful song about purifying my heart. I mean, a wonderful prayer. Take me to the cross. Your holiness is my desire. That's the prayer for when we wake up to the reality of our sin. Breathe your life in me. Kindle a love that flows from your throne. Oh, purify my heart. We have to be careful because we can think to ourselves, I can't speak for myself. Well, I can nurse this sin and follow Jesus at the same time. But that's the deception of the enemy. In the words of a great Baptist writer, Bruce Milne, who's a Canadian Baptist pastor, he said, you know, a relationship with Jesus begins when in his presence we face up to all that grieves God's holy will in our lives. We face it, whatever this might cost us. And that's the rub there, because we all know it's going to cost us. Speaking again from personal experience, I resist facing my own sin because I'm afraid of what it might cost me. What will my life be like if I have to give this thing up? So in the name of Christ, beloved, I ask you tonight, Christ is calling you tonight, I ask you, is there anything that you need to bring up to this altar and leave? Do you need the ministry of confession or encouragement from a Christian friend to help you let go of those sins? Because if we're going to know the joy of following Jesus, then the sin in our life has to be addressed. Simon, son of John, do you love me? But that's not the end, it's just the beginning, isn't it? Simon says to him, Jesus, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, what does he say? He says, tend my sheep. Following Jesus begins with facing our sin, removing that from our lives, and it always includes a new responsibility. If you do not feel the weight of responsibility, then you're not following Jesus. Comes with responsibility. Now, for Simon Peter, that responsibility was going to involve pastoring the flock. We didn't hear it tonight, but a few verses after, they're just literally a handful of verses that finish out John's gospel. After Jesus has said to Simon Peter, it predicts the way that he's going to die, Simon Peter says, well, what about John over here? The one who authored the gospel. And Jesus says in so many words, Simon Peter, John is none of your business. What I do with him, his responsibility, is between us. It's not your business. We are all going to get different assignments. We are all going to have different responsibilities. One Lord, but different responsibilities. We're going to have different responsibilities in different seasons in our lives. Different responsibilities based on our different gifts. Jesus called Simon Peter to be the pastor, the leader of the flock. He called his apostle John to a very different ministry. To a ministry of writing down this gospel, of writing that down, that incredible vision recorded in the Revelation to John, the last book of the Bible. Two very different responsibilities, but the same Lord. Beloved, following Jesus always means accepting new responsibility. And if you don't have a sense right here tonight of what that responsibility is in this season of your life, then that's a sign to you that it may be some time to do some praying and listening. Yesterday, Roseanne Brasington and I and several others here this evening had a little luncheon to meet with a missionary from St. Paul's Somerville. And her mission is to help grandparents accept their responsibility to pass on the faith to their grandchildren. Now, I bring that up simply to say that sometimes our primary responsibility in Jesus is just lived out in our ordinary, everyday relationships. So for grandparents, that responsibility of passing the faith to their grandchildren. To give another example, we have among us some teachers. Following after Jesus means accepting the responsibility not only of being the best teacher that you can be, but also asking the Lord daily, how can I use this awesome responsibility you've given me to gently and lovingly shepherd people to you, Lord Jesus? So again, in this last encounter between Jesus and Peter, we have a roadmap for following Jesus. A barrier must be removed, a responsibility to be accepted, and finally, I'll make it quick, I know you guys are running out of steam here, hang on, thirdly, a cross to be carried. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And then he said, "Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." And John explains, this Jesus said to show by what death he was to glorify God. Of course, you all know Simon Peter was hung on a cross upside down. And after this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. For the Apostle Peter, following Jesus is going to mean going to a cross. Now, we hear that and we shudder. We think, boy, I'm thankful I don't have to die on a cross. But if you think that as a Christian you do not have to die on a cross, then you do not know what it means to follow Jesus. Following Jesus means that each and every day, in a thousand little ways, we have to die to ourselves. Die to our self-will. So that we can do the will of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but my heart resists that. I hear about a cross, I think, I don't want a cross. That doesn't sound too good. But what does the Christian know? What do we know as Christians, beloved? We know what the world does not know. Death for Christ is the door to living with Christ. With Jesus, crucifixion always leads to resurrection. Death always leads to life. That is the great secret of Christianity. If you really want to live, you have to die to yourself. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, follow me." Beloved, that's the map for following Jesus. Where are you on that map tonight? There's a barrier to be removed, a responsibility to be accepted, and a cross to be carried. Jesus says to us all tonight, come, follow me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your incredible forgiveness. That no matter how many times we fail you, 3 times, 30 times, 1,000 times, you are more ready to forgive than we are to confess. I pray, Lord Christ, that you would give us give us the grace to lay our sin before you tonight, to accept your responsibility, and to take that cross, to say no to ourselves and yes to you and to your mission, that we might follow you. Lord, we cannot do it on our own, so send your Holy Spirit, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.